Hi there. Hello. Well, hello, hello, hello. Hi, my name is Ozioma Paul and you're welcome to my podcast. Here I talk about my life from the standpoint of faith, career, relationships, and everything else in between. And if you're new here, well, hello. Thank you so much for stopping by and I hope that this is value adding for you. If you're an OG or a returning listener, well, I didn't want to start with this, but oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for the way that I've disappeared for the past year and a half. Sincerely, I think this is the biggest creative break I've ever taken from, you know, my creative activities. Wow, a year and a half? Even when I disappeared from YouTube that year, I don't think it was up to that. But yeah, 2022 was quite interesting. So I have this thing of, you know, like when I go through like a very difficult patch in life, I just move on. I really just move on. But then after that, I've moved on or intensified, you know, usually I would just throw myself into work because I just can't deal in the moment. So usually I usually catch up, or it usually catches up with me. And then after a while, I really need to take time to actually process. That's what happened in 2022. So for the first half of the year, I kept going, firing up. But at a point I had to, pause, you know, and process things and, you know, reevaluate and then go on again. And that's how, that was how or why I initially started and I took a break. And then 2023 was a lot of healing, you know, and finding myself and exploring things and just jumping around the world. I did a lot of travel and I was extremely busy. Like I was genuinely busy, like very, very busy last year. I'm still very busy. But I have just decided, you know, to do things that I used to do, things that I genuinely really, really love. And one of which is this podcast, one of which is storytelling. Storytelling is at the center of my heart. So if you're new and you're just listening to all of this ranting, this is just me apologizing to my OGs for, you know, for being on for the past couple of months. Oh my goodness, 1.5. I can't believe myself. But anyways, I'm back now. And, you know, I have to say at this point that usually with a lot of creatives, when we do this apology, there's the full compromise of, now I'm going to be a very good girl and I won't disappoint you again, or I won't disappear again. First of all, it's not about disappointing. It's about sharing when I can. But second of all, it's also saying that life I have come to see is very oscillatory. It's up here and down tomorrow. So I have learned to allow myself flow with the wind of life and as my spirit leads me. And so this is saying that I am going to try my absolute possible best to, you know, return to being very consistent here. But yeah, let's see how God will help me. So now that I've had all of that out of the way, shall we get into the subject of today? So today I'm going to be talking about what my PhD has taught me about living life. I remember in 2021, just after my second degree, from Carnegie Mellon University, by the way, yay, CME fans, I remember saying to myself that I am extremely proud of the woman that I've become from this degree. In the 2 years of that degree, it wasn't just about the certificates. Like, I'm grateful that I, you know, got an opportunity to go to such an institution and get such a degree and how it's provided me such a leverage in my career. But much more than that, I'm happy for the woman that I became through those 2 years. And honestly, I remembered that just as I was about to record this, and I realized that, you know, going through certain experiences, such as, you know, going through a degree, you know, teaches you a lot much more. It teaches you a lot more than just the degree and the technical, you know, knowledge that you garner from that process. And that's what I'm going to be sharing about today. Few lessons that I've learned from my PhD that shaped the way that I think about life, that has shaped the way that I think about myself, that has shaped the way that I do life. Okay, so the first lesson is understanding that things aren't linear. So when I started my PhD, I had a plan, very simple plan. Year one, do this. Year two, do this. Year three, do this. And I think that I am very, if I'm to give credit to myself, I'd say that I'm one of those people who knows how to stay on plan. Like, give me a plan to work with, timeline and all, I will chase and ensure that things get done when they're supposed to get done. But with my PhD, I realized that things can easily go out of plan. Like, you have planned to do this, and then I had this the industry partner that I'm working with, they just got bought over. Like, few months into my project, and that just kind of spiraled things, you know, plans with my data collection, things really just spiraled, and I'm like, wow, this is not the plan. I remember a session with one of my supervisors and how they told me that, you know, look, whatever changes has happened, just know that you'll get this PhD done. And I don't know if that fellow knows how much, you know, confidence that meeting and that statement instilled in me, that look, things will get broken down along the way, but you know what, you're getting this PhD. And you know, that really taught me a great deal about looking at life and understanding the fact that life is not linear, and you cannot, because life is not linear, choose not to live life, if you get what I mean. So plan, right? Move, do whatever it is you need to do, but make allowances for the surprises that life may bring your way. And I would say that that's also instilled in me a great sense of resilience, to also understand the fact that, look, whatever happens, we move. Like, it's such an attitude that I've now adopted, that whatever it is, you know, that comes, we really move. Because I've seen, you know, things that's really threatened to, you know, shake. I think one memory that also is forever etched in my heart, or is a core memory for me, is when my second year viva, I had a surgery just 2 weeks before it. Craziest experience. I remember staying in the hospital with my laptop. I'm so grateful I went to the hospital with my laptop, because I didn't know it was somewhat emergency. So I just went, you know, I was like going for a checkup, and you know, I'll just take my laptop. And I remember how that in the night, when the nurses are patrolling doing their check-ins, me, I'll be there pressing my laptop. I'm just like, look, I have to get this thing done. Like, I was already running behind schedule, and now this happened. And to the glory of God and God alone, I still went through that viva and came out. Well, there are a few things I thought could be better, but it wasn't a problem of the fact that my viva and my presentation wasn't good, you know. So things like that, in the course of my PhD, have really taught me the fact that, you know, life is not linear. Plan, but make allowances for surprises. And when they come, build up an attitude of resilience. Put up an attitude of resilience and understand the fact that with God, all things are possible, regardless of the surprises that may come your way. Okay? Second thing that I have taken away from my PhD that has fundamentally changed the way that I live and the way that I think about life is taking risks. Now, like I said, when I started my PhD, I had this grandiose plan about how things were going to work. But eventually, things started to not happen the way that I thought it would happen. And to me, it's a risk. Do you understand? Like, leaving everything familiar behind, right? And the plans that I had to get on the job, I was already talking with a partner at a company that I really, really wanted to, like, do tomorrow. It's a company that I would really love to. And I'm like, you know what? I think I'm just going to go on this other path, because I feel my heart is more inclined on this other path. And that really was a risk, okay? So that's every time I think about the fact that I let everything that I was familiar with go and decide to start on this uncharted path, I realized that, you know, life is about risk. It truly was a risk, and it's kind of emboldened me to also take other risks in my life, okay? The third thing I would say is communication, and how I've learned so much about communication since I started my program. I would say a few times actually, I have gone on to start on doing something that I thought I heard my supervisor say. And funny thing, they actually did say those things, but I did not understand clearly what they said. I'll give you an example. So I work in optimization, and in optimization, there's something they call objective function, which is the goal of what you're trying to, it's the goal you're trying to achieve. So for instance, I'm trying to optimize, I'm trying to optimize how my phone works. And the goal is, I don't know, maybe use less battery on my phone. So that's goal, and how that goal is measured is called my objective function. So for instance, my supervisor says we need to include as an objective of my phone, we need to include speed as an objective. And I run on trying to actually model speed as an objective of that problem, not understanding the fact that she actually meant speed as an objective, as a goal of my solution. Now, this is, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, probably not, and probably that's not the best example, but really, like, speed could have been a goal. Like, I'm trying to get my solution to come out faster, so can we include speed as an objective? Okay, so I understand that to mean that I'm including speed as a factor, so when I'm writing my code, I'm trying to make it work faster, speed as an objective. when what was actually really meant, or what they actually meant, was including speed as a part of the objective function. And like, it's the same thing, but they really mean two different things. So now I've learned in my PhD, and I'm now trying to apply it in my life. When I'm told something, or when I'm suggested, oh, I suggest you do this, I ask, do you mean this as this, or do you mean that as that? Now, sometimes it might look like tautology, but what that does is that it saved me time and time again, the effort and the time that I would have spent doing something that was exactly not what was meant, okay? And also, especially when I'm texting with people in my relationships, I'm learning not to just run with face value. Oh, someone says this and says hi like this, and I'm like, oh, why is the person saying hi like this? The person means like, it would be nice to say, well, did you really mean to sound this way, or did you really mean this? It's really, really very important in relationships and in communications generally, at work, at home, at play, everywhere. It's very important to be very clear about your communication. So that's something that's now, you know, is now a part of me, not just in my PhD, but in my relationships. I now ask questions, well, did you mean this, or oh, okay. And that's always very useful, because, you know, assumption is very bad. There's a verse that I really love from the Bible, and if you don't know, hi, I'm Christian, and the Bible is such a basis for the way that I live my life. And a verse that I really, really love from Bible is where it says to make allowances for other people's faults. And you can only do that when you're not running on with assumptions and just running on. It's always good to say, maybe this person didn't mean this the way that I perceive that he mean it. And then ask questions, okay? Just for clarity's sake. Point number four, I've learned the importance of focus. Like, if you know me, I am a woman of many expressions and several graces. Like, there's many things that I can do, and I will do them well by the grace of God. But the temptation to that, or the problem, or the downside of that, is that many times I can get sucked into several things, and then the most important things then do not get enough attention, and with the lack of focus, it reflects in my results. Okay, so I've learned that focus is the game, is the name of the game. If you want to do something and do it well, you've got to focus. There's no other way. Like, you can't afford to have your attention divided in 1 million places and expect top-notch results in those 1 million places. It's not possible. So I've learned in my PhD to focus, have clearly defined goals. I would say that in the first 2 years of my PhD, a sister of mine said this a couple days ago, and it's just been resonating in my heart. She said, there is a way to play when you want to win, and it's not just about playing. And I'm like, yeah, there is a way to play when you want to win. For instance, I want to play soccer. I can go outside and play soccer. No goal in mind. I just want to play. I mean, it's Saturday. The weather is great, so I'm going to play. The way that I'll play in that instance is very different from the way that I'll play if I was playing to win a tournament. And so this understanding of how focus brings about results was so reinforced in my, you know, second year into my third year. And I realized that, oh, Zuma, you can do much more than you're doing now. But girl, you have your attention divided all over. So I started to pull in my focus. I started to pull in my time, pull in my resources, and start to focus on my program. And I would say that it's been a few months, just short months, few months of that intentionality, and I'm seeing results already. So that has really taught me a lot about life as well. Understanding the fact that I don't have to just be all over the place doing everything. I can choose what it is I need to focus on part time, give it that energy, get it done, and then I can move on to other things. Okay. Just following that point is the fact that when you put in the work, it shows. That's another great learning that I've got from my PhD. When you put in the work, it shows. And guess what? When you don't put in the work, it doesn't show. It will show. I mean, no, I said that wrong. But you don't put in the work, it shows as well that you haven't put in the work. So this is also me learning again about focus and learning the importance of putting in the work. Like, see, the thing is, if you want to get something done, someone's going to have to do the work. Okay, like, I need to get my PhD done. I have to put in the work. Like, avoidance mechanisms, which I, in my first year and part of my second year, mastered to the extent that one of my supervisors, very good at catching me, they'd say, oh, I think you are actually avoiding getting this thing done. That's why you're running around the entire nation trying to do interviews when you can just sit and find the bug in this code. So, yeah, I've learned to face things head on, and I'm applying that to my life, right? I said something to a dear friend of mine the other day. I said, the thing is either
you can cry today or you cry in 6 months. But sometimes cry is inevitable. So what's the point of postponing the cry? Do you get what I mean? So put in the work. Like, there's no point, you know, postponing things. And then the next thing I would say that I've got from my PhD that's, you know, changed the way that I think about my life is knowing when to stop. I think from a child, I've been very, very, you know, goal-oriented. I was quite competitive when I was younger, like so competitive. So I'm like, what's the goal? Get it. But now I'm learning that it's important to know when to stop. With my PhD, there's certain times when I'm so fixated on getting something done that I'm so fixated. I've invested so much time that I now start to have diminishing returns. Like, imagine that I'm working on this piece of code from morning till night. I've got to a point where my brain is not actually functioning, but I'm so pained that I haven't fixed it, so I'm still there, fixated. What happens is I start to experience diminishing returns. So with time, I'm learning in my PhD, and of course, like I said, extending that to my life, to know when to stop. It's so important. Like, sometimes any additional input will not bring about any results. So just stop. And this I am applying in my life, in my relationships, with my investments as well, with things, basic things, like to know when to stop. Okay, this, given an example, this relationship, it's the more we add on, the more is scattering. Know when to stop, okay? Or I don't know, this investments, the more I put in funds, the more I'm seeing that it's not working. Take it out, like, just quit. Okay, it's okay to quit, you just need to know the right time. And then I think second to my last point is understanding the fact that balance is possible. I think coming into my PhD program, I heard a lot of people, and you know, you go online with all these PhD pages and memes, and everyone is like, oh my goodness, people that have do PhD, they don't have a life. And I'm like, that doesn't sound like me. How am I going to cope? And it's my third year now, and I'm like, wow, I have a life. Oh, I have a beautiful life. I love this little life of mine. I really love my life. Like, right now, I feel like I'm in such a beautiful place, and I'm grateful to God mentally, in my relationships, with my family, with my goals, with my finances, to the glory of God. I just feel like with my passions as well, you know, I've been able to, I was saying that in the first year of my PhD, I wrote 2 books, not related to my PhD. And in the second year, I featured in a movie. These are things that I've always wanted to do. These are passions of mine that I've always wanted to do. So it's a beautiful privilege that I was able to, you know, nurture it in the time of my PhD without dropping any significant or major balls. So balance is possible. It can be very hard to attain in certain contexts, but it's possible. And that's something I'm, you know, extrapolating. Is that the right word? Extending, yes, to my life, and extending to other contexts or other things in my life to understand that, yeah, extremes are very easy to cross. You know, it's very easy for you to be this extreme or to be that extreme, but what is possible but maybe difficult is balance. And then last but not the least, I would say that my PhD has taught me the importance of networking. Before, I used to think that life is about how hard you work, and yeah, to a certain degree, but life is also about who knows you and who you know. Like, it's very important to have people in important rooms that will speak for you. In rooms where your name are being mentioned, do you have someone that can speak for you? We're all qualified, we're all hardworking, we're in the door already, we've got it, that's why we're in the door. But when it comes to those who then get to rise up the ranks, have you got someone in the room where those decisions have been made? If you haven't, then it's no longer, at this point, it's no longer a function of your ability, because like I said, we're all able to do the job. It then becomes a function of who you know. So I would say that my PhD has taught me significantly about networking. But you see, not just networking, also leveraging my network. It's one thing to say that I've got access to the president. It's another thing to say that I'm able to leverage my relationship with the president, okay? And this is really, like I said, teaching me a lot about relationships and building relationships and mastering relationships and staying in touch. A dear friend of mine, again, gave me a nice compliment the other day and said that they thought I know how to, you know, build connections and stay connected with people. And I think it's a really good skill. Like, don't just delete all your secondary school classmates because they're making noise on the WhatsApp group. Even if you leave the group, keep those contacts. Or, you know, your friends from uni, they talk to my friends. Me, there are certain African countries that I will go to, and I know that I have food, I have water, I have shelter. for however long I want to stay. And it's important, you know, to build those relationships. You know, life will bring people our way. Life is, you know, it's like a moving river. It brings people your way. What's important is how do you know how to, you know, keep people, of course, like properly, you know, define your relationships, you know, so you don't end up in offensive situations. But, you know, much more than having these people around you, it's important to know how to, you know, leverage them for the right purposes. Okie dokie, I think that I would drop the ball or just drop my pen there or stop my mouth there. Thank you so much. This is a good return podcast, I guess. So thank you so much. I would like to ask you a question. If you have had any degree in your past, what was a significant lesson that came out of that degree for you? If you haven't yet been to uni, I don't know, what is a significant lesson that you probably say has come out from the past 5 years of your life? That's an alternative question. If you haven't had a degree done yet. So thank you so much for listening. I would love to know what you think. So feel free to please leave me follow me on Spotify for Podcasters. Like the last time I did this, Spotify for Podcasters was Anchor. I didn't even know they had been bought over. That's how long since I last recorded the podcast. But yeah, thank you so much for your time, and I hope you have a beautiful rest of your day or night. Mwah. Bye-bye. God bless you. God keep you. Bye.